A very good morning to families and friends, and as well as friends in the West Center. Welcome. I can't see you, but I assume you're waving at me right now. Just to let you know, I'm okay. As you can see, I'm well. Praise God for that. The car accident sounds very serious, lah. But actually, the car sort of collided into my vehicle. It's good that I braked in time. The thing is, was that it was a bit of a downer, right, before CNY for these things to happen to you. So on Saturday, I sent to a car workshop. I sought two quotes from two different workshops. And the first one quoted me at quite a high price. The second one quoted me at three times of that price to me. And when I went over to that workshop, I think because of Chinese New Year, the uncle was in a good mood. He quoted me an even lower price. So freely you receive, freely you give, right? That's what Jesus commanded. So I told the taxi driver, never mind, I know it's not easy being a taxi driver. I'll just quote you a token sum for compensation. So in response, in his gratitude, he sent me a Chinese New Year meme. Okay. On my WhatsApp, 24 seconds long. 恭喜发财. Yeah, so a very blessed Chinese New Year to all of us here today. Welcome to all of us. You know, in the past 2 weeks, right, we have been on the Start the Year Right series. We have heard the importance of prayer from Pastor Edrick and also spending time in the Word from CN last week. So the title of today's message is called From Duty to Delight. From Duty to Delight. I'm going to give you some time to take down notes. As disciples of Christ, we will need to exercise discipline in these areas to grow spiritually. I think all of us have heard that before. But why duty from delight? Because I'm not so sure how some of us will feel when we hear the word discipline. Maybe some of us were once in the school team, you know, in a sport, or even professional sportsmen. You can relate to this idea of discipline very well. You wake up earlier than most majority of people in Singapore, you know, to exercise, you eat right, and you push your bodies beyond its comfort levels during training so that you can achieve your personal best or level up your game. So you can really understand what Paul meant when he said this in 1 Corinthians 9:27. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This may be your life verse, but for some of us here, maybe this is not our life verse. Our life verse can be found in Luke 15:22. Come, let's kill the fattened calf and let's feast tonight. You know, that is in the prodigal son's story. You know, for some of us, that's a joke. Self-discipline is not your strength. It's not your strength. Or you are in a season where you feel that you have so many responsibilities and duties on your plate. You can even hardly juggle them well and find enough time to sleep, and let alone adding more things onto your plate. So the subject of spiritual discipline can seem intimidating, a mountain too high to scale, too dry to sustain consistently for extended period of time. And you may acknowledge, yeah, I know all these truths in my head. Like, to grow in faith, we need to feed our soul with soul food, the Word of God. We need to set aside time to do our devotion faithfully. But I venture here, some of us may be thinking during the past two sermons, but Pastor Tim, Pastor Dennis, CN, yala, I know all this. If only you know my life, if you can understand why I struggle with putting more things into my daily routines. So today, I wear the same hat as you. I'm with you. I can identify with some of these struggles. So perhaps at the risk of even putting myself down when I say this, I do not speak as someone who has mastered all these spiritual disciplines. No, I'm aware that there are some of you who have truly and consistently guarded your devotion life really well for a long period of time. Take, for example, people like Christine, CN's wife, Christine. You know, she said she'll wake up at wee hours, you know, just interceding for others. People like me, I wake up at wee hours sneezing because she was praying for me. I'm working towards there, okay? But what I hope to achieve today is to bring a new perspective to spiritual disciplines, that they need not be dry, boring, repetitive, and just something to tick off your checklist. Just like exercising, your end goal may be to, you know, shed some weight, be healthy, but you can also enjoy the sport and exercise at the same time, right? Or cooking. Your end goal may not just be to put food on the table for your families and friends. You could be satisfied with, you know, whipping something out that smells heavenly or trying a new recipe. So the same is true for devotion. Today, I hope to share with you the delights that I've discovered through the spiritual habit of devotion and how we can practically incorporate them into our lifestyle. I'm going to order the spiritual habits through a typical day in the life of a busy Singaporean to help us visualize, okay? So I'm going to start with this morning, delighting in God's word. Delighting in God's word. All our morning routines and waking up times are different because of the varying seasons and the jobs that we are in. Some of us work night shift. Regardless of what time you wake up, we know it's so crucial to start our day right. We all know this intuitively. How we start our day has a great bearing on how the day is going to be like. So how we can start our day right is by framing our day with the right words. Now, words are tremendously powerful. In Genesis, you can see that the world began with words. God used words to create the world and spoke it into reality, from chaos to order, formless to form. Notice in Genesis, after God created something, he would say it was good. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, he said, after creating land and sea, God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:12, after creating vegetation, trees, fruits, seeds, God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:18, after creating sun, moon, stars, God saw that it was good. I won't go through the whole list, but God said it was good a couple more times. And the English word good doesn't quite communicate the nuance here. The actual Hebrew translation sounds more like wow, or in Gen Z's lingo, right, slay. Right. It's like the noise that a stadium makes when in a World Cup final, when you see a player scores a spectacular bicycle kick. It's that roar of the entire stadium. Or when a sprinter breaks a world record. You know, God's love and glory are manifested in and through his creation. And God didn't stop there. He then turned to humans and he said, your turn, I paraphrase. And how do humans begin with this task? Also by words. Adam's first job was zoologist. He came alongside God and helped him name his creation. So sometimes, right, when we wake up, actually, whether you like it or you do it consciously or subconsciously, you frame your day with your words. And your silent prayer can sometimes sound like this, okay? I really should have slept earlier yesterday. I feel a bit sick, but not sick enough to take MC. Should I take MC or not? I seriously need to get this XXXYYY done by today. And at the heart of this, before even going through the day, we start the day wishing that it was different. We start with discontentment. And if we are to partner with God and make something of this world, we must frame the day with his word. God invites us to find delight in him through his words. So at this point, I hope to be able to give some practical handles what I mean by that. There are a lot of podcasts around, a lot of Bible commentaries, articles, which can be helpful. But remember, they are meant to be supplement and not meant to be the main dish. They were written by people, which is their interpretation of the Bible. And it's according to their culture, their context, and their own personal experience. Instead, I'll recommend us to go to the source and read the Bible directly. How and where to start, you may ask. First step. Select a book. Help me say this. Select a book. Select a book. So pick a Bible reading plan based on a book. I believe most of us, if not all, are familiar with the Bible app YouVersion. You can go and search plans, and under that you can find the categories, New Testament books and Old Testament books. If you have not started much on the Bible before, I will encourage you to begin with the Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And if you have read the Gospels before, you can move to the letters, the epistles. That means the book of Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. And the reason why I suggest selecting a Bible reading plan based on book instead of a theme, because it will systematically guide you through the entire book based on a set period. If you select a theme or a set topic, the devotion guide will likely bring you to all over the places in the Bible, and you may not be able to build depth in your understanding of the word. So now the easy part is done, right? Selecting a book. Now, I personally find that having an overall picture of a book helps me to read it, like whom it was written for and what's the big picture. So the second step is to get an overview of the book. There are many good resources out there. Two resources that I'll recommend. If you're more of a visual audio learner, you can look at the Bible Project, which is on YouTube. It offers quite a good overview of each book. Or if you prefer to read, I recommend this book, How to Read the Bible Book by Book, by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. This is an excellent book. It has helped me so much in building my depth and understanding of the Word. So say with me, get an overview of the book. So next, after I've gotten the overview, what should I do when I read the passage? Now, there are a lot of Bible study methods out there, but here's an easy one which I want to recommend to you. It's called SOAK. S-O-A-K, SOAK. So how do we apply SOAK? It's the acronym for, number one, S, Scripture. Scripture. So after you have selected the reading plan, it will lead you to the Scripture. So what you can do is you can read the verses slowly. If you're using a hard copy Bible, which I encourage, write and highlight meaningful words, phrases, and scriptures that stand out to you. That's S, Scripture. Second acronym, O, Observation. Take a few moments to observe the passage you are reading to help you get more in-depth. You can ask the following questions to draw deeper from the text. For example, what is the overall message of the passage? No, are there any commands or instructions? Are there any warnings in the text? What truth can I learn? And what do I feel God is showing me through His Word? You know, you can ask some of these questions to help you draw deeper from the text. So observation, the third acronym, application. Reflect on how the Scriptures apply to you. You can ask the following questions to help you think of application. For example, what habits, attitudes, or changes do I need to make? How can I implement what I've read? And also, what did I learn about us as humans or God? No, I want to say that some parts of the Bible are harder to apply than others. So for those parts that are harder to apply, you struggle, really struggle to think of application. I think one useful question that was good for me is, I asked, what did I learn about myself or about God? Because oftentimes in the Bible, when it's detailing something, it's telling us something about humans, human nature. Or it's telling us something about the nature of God. So for example, the question you ask from there, you could see the mercy of God in withholding His hand of judgment upon the people of Israel. You know, you could reflect about how you can bring mercy to someone around you. So I hope this makes sense to you. Once you get an understanding of the characteristics of God that's being portrayed here, you can think of application, how to bring that to your everyday life. And the last acronym is called kneel, kneeling in prayer. So pray according to what you have learned. You could thank God, for example, for a new understanding of His Word, for who He is, and ask Him for wisdom to help you apply these truths to your life. So I will also recommend you that you could journal down, because we are forgetful by nature. Journaling will help to reinforce the truths that you have gained through a Bible reading. So whatever God brings to my mind, I develop the habit of quickly jotting down onto my phone, on my notepad. So if you look at my notepad, you see a lot of scribbles all over. If you prefer hard pen and paper, because you don't want the distraction of a phone, you can do it on a post-it pad. And there's a purpose for this, which I'll share later. And I want to also be realistic here. I know sometimes the delights of receiving from God's Word may not be immediate. Sometimes you read a text and you're wondering, how is this applied to me in this season of my life? And it's possible that for some days, as you do your devotion, you maybe don't understand 50% or more than that of the passage, and you struggle to find its applicability. I want to assure you that it's okay. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can do His work on our soul without us fully comprehending it. Sometimes the Word only makes sense in another moment, weeks later, or in another season of my life. So, but when it comes, you realize that the Word becomes alive to you. And what you exactly needed to hear in those moments, right? Well, maybe a devotion that you have read weeks, months, or even years before that. And you know that the sowing of God's Word, right, into God's Word in your spirit is not in vain. I share with you a simple testimony of my wife, Kelly. Her birthday falls on 24th December. Please take note. You don't need to put that in your take note for that. 24th December, right? So just so you know. So she always received birthday gifts way in advance than me. Unlike me, okay? So one of the birthdays when she was receiving such gifts, right, the phrase, not an afterthought, struck with her. She reflected that actually for her to receive gifts in advance, right, people need to think about her, think about buying what kind of gifts for her way in advance. And these gifts have to be intentionally planned. Because end of the year, it's also Christmas season. There could be delays in delivery and stuff like that. They have to be intentionally planned earlier so that they can reach her. Because of that thought, right, that verse in Psalm 139, verse 17 sprung to her and say, "How amazing are your thoughts concerning me?" Wow. Such a simple thing, right? She got inspired by the Holy Spirit, such as she wrote this in her journal. As God's previous creation, we are not an afterthought, but carefully crafted by our Creator. We are His masterpiece, created for good works which God prepared beforehand for us. May I always be filled with a sense of gratitude and not take for granted the thoughtfulness, just as how I received the gifts from friends, loved ones. God is beyond thoughtful and intentional towards us. Amazing, right? How birthday gifts can turn her to upwardly worship God because she hid this word in her heart a long time back. So I encourage you with this. Read His word, hide it in your heart, and watch how it comes alive to you at the most unexpected moments. He can turn the ordinary moments to holy moments, and you will find great joy in there. And another tip, because we are humans after all, if you feel that on your day, your devotion is not yielding much, consider supplements, right? Consider supplements. Now, there are a lot of Christian content available via podcasts and sermons. For example, many of us, you have time when you're commuting via train or bus. I want to encourage you, instead of just scrolling and read sports news, checking social media, or maybe even checking your work emails, right, when you're commuting, you can tune into podcasts. Personally, as a new parent, I find myself listening to a lot of podcasts on biblical parenting. I learned how biblical parenting can be quite countercultural to modern-day parenting tips. And when it comes to podcasts, one thing to note, there are tons of Christian content creators out there. Not all are necessarily sound and balanced. So if you're unsure of the credibility of the speakers, you can ask your LGLs or pastoral leaders before you subscribe to them. So you're commuting, you're stepping into your train and MRT, you put your iPods and your earbuds in, and you listen to a podcast. So as you prepare to step into your office, right, and you take out your earbuds, this is where you take a deep breath. You take a deep breath and you brace for a million and one things that are going to fight for your attention over here. So this is the point where sometimes we will say goodbye to God subconsciously. Like a parent sending a child to school, we put him to school and say, "Goodbye, see you in the evening." And, you know, I mean, it's so easy, right, sometimes to leave God outside of our workplace and say, "See you after work" from there. And this brings us to the part where throughout the day, in the midday, like, our devotion doesn't stop there. It can continue. And I'm going to move on to noon. I call this noon delighting in partnership with God. Delighting in partnership with God. I want to share with you how we can partner with God, you know, in the marketplace. Because our minds are so ready to jump into responding to tons of emails and prepare for meetings, we often begin the day with, you know, energy, productivity, aided by some kopi kao and maybe triple shot espresso. Then somewhere after lunch, after the food coma sets in, right, we may realize that the day has not gone as well as we have planned. There may be a sudden emergency request with impossible deadlines to attend to. It disrupts your plans. There may be uncomfortable conversation with your boss or your colleague, which make you question your own sanity. There may be someone who has rubbed you the wrong way, and you can feel your heart stirring with anger, irritation, or you may simply just feeling unproductive and disappointed with yourself for not getting more work done. You know, our days at work are often derailed and framed by interruptions that happen throughout the day. I believe many of us, sometimes we can attest to that. So to counter this, I'm going to share a tip with you that I practiced at my own when I was working in the marketplace. It's called intentional divine interruption. Intentional divine interruption. What is intentional divine interruption? It's basically setting a moment during your workday, usually midday, it can be after lunch, instead of jumping back immediately to resume your work, to pause and to pray. It need not be long. It can be just 5 to 10 minutes. Let me share with you how I discovered this, the importance of this habit. when I was working in the marketplace, I observed how sometimes I step in the office, right? Then my brain just switched into task-oriented mode. I start focusing on what needs to be done, and I start trying to do things as fast as I can. So I learned the lesson of partnering with God at my workplace through an encounter, a desperate encounter. When I was working there in my organization, I was about to present a video production concept to my senior management. That was for an event. And I was way, way behind time. The video was only 50% done. Music was not fully in. My direct bosses, they were not confident. That's an understatement. They were very, very nervy. The atmosphere was very tense. And in the moment of desperation, I asked God for wisdom. Ask for His peace. I just pray everything that I can remember. Please, please, please just do something at the meeting so that, you know, it's not going to end up the whole thing being thrown out of the window and we are desperately scrambling for some solution. And because of that, I think because of that, God brought some level of assurance in my heart and I was able to be very honest with the fact when I was presenting to the senior management that I was behind time because we were trying something very novel and it could potentially go very bad, right? But the thing is this, my CEO that time in the organization, she loved the proposal and concept so much that she said she was moved and encouraged us to give it a shot. So I felt a flood of relief. But the more importantly, I was asking myself this, how can I only come to God when I'm so desperate? You know, then it led me to think, how come I didn't think of committing my work more to God? I only did it out of desperation. And if our work is indeed a worship to God, and that's the theology of work that we learned, right? Wouldn't God be very interested in what and how I'm doing my work? Wouldn't He like me to partner Him in my work? And so in order to inculcate this habit of partnering God in my work, beyond just turning to Him out of desperation, I knew I had to create intentional divine interruptions. And yes, enrich my prayer life a lot at work and bring me great delights in how God moves at my workplace. So to create intentional divine interruptions in your workplace, I suggest to use artifacts to help us. What do I mean by that? For example, I find helpful to use a prayer poster that's personalized to attach it to my cubicle to help me focus my mind to pray. It can be right after a meeting or you can have a personal prayer note, one that maybe you have when you do your devotion in the morning, you felt that God has a word for you. You write it in your post-it pad. You can put it, you know, at your workstation over there. And to help you remind of what God has spoken to you, to prompt you that His presence is with you, for you to pray and partner with me. So what I'm not saying, right, I've seen this before, is not to deck up your entire work desk with all Christian verses and things. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? If some of you are already doing that, there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm not saying is to deck up as many and make your entire work desk as Christianese as possible. That's not what I'm saying. But the purpose of these artifacts is not to show others. It's to remind you and prompt you that, hey, God's presence is with me. So don't go for quantity. Go for 1 to 2 artifacts that can really remind and prompt you to commune with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you creative ideas of what you can do to your physical environment at your workplace to prompt you to commune with Him. And as you pick up the habit of prayer, inviting Him into your partnership with you, right, your spiritual ears will be sensitized to His voice and you will move from praying only at specific times to praying more and more regularly. When we actively partner with God, knowing that He's invested in our work, I can assure you that our prayer life will not be dry. I started inviting God. I share with you, I started inviting God after lunch. I just reminded to pray, to connect with Him. I asked God to set the atmosphere right. So then I started inviting God before every major meetings. Countless times I can testify that God has come true. I remember dealing with a board member who was quite harsh and blunt towards my team in a pre-meeting session. And me and my bosses were just braced to face a barrage of difficult questions during the actual board meeting. I prayed for God to bring about supernatural peace to the meeting. And for some reason, right, during the meeting, right before my agenda item, they were just amused by something that they just kept laughing and laughing and laughing. I also don't know what's so funny. They're just laughing and laughing. Then the whole atmosphere became so relaxed, right, that the board member who criticized us supported the team instead. You know, it's just strange, but God works in mysterious ways, right? And I was able to testify to my boss after that meeting. Hey, I prayed for that meeting and God answered my prayer. And because God shown Himself to be so real, right, moments like this made it a delight for me to just invite Him into every meetings that I attend to, right? And so it became an auto-reflex. Not just meetings, but important conversations with colleagues, with bosses, solutioning. And if I'm honest, if I'm ever a meeting secretary, right, I'll record Jesus as a long-standing member of all my meetings, never absent with apologies. Yeah, from there. You know, the delight of watching him work in my workplace made prayer such a joy. And I encourage us at a workplace, you know, where the noises of the world are most deafening, it's more than ever that you invite the Holy Spirit to partner with you. Start thinking of how you can plan for just one intentional divine interruption during your working hours. And as your awareness and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit increases, you'll find joy in partnering with him, and your partnership with him will be second nature. And you will find the joy of doing what 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-17 says, rejoice always, pray continually. Okay, so that takes us through the midday as we are busy through the week. We invite God to partner with him, and we are approaching the end of the day, because when you're busy, time flies, right? And you reach evening. Now, evening, I want to share with you, this is where, you know, it's actually a good point where you can delight in praying for others. Say, delight in praying for others. So after we have hustled through the whole day of work, right, and having interacted and encountered people in the workplace, their needs, some of them for the right or wrong reasons, their faces stick to our minds, it's apt for our evening prayer to be other-centered, you know, before dinner. Now, with the invention of WhatsApp and Telegrams, I know sometimes we are bombarded with tons of requests. Among them are prayer requests if you're in an LG chat. And it's often easy for you to, you know, respond with a prayer emoticon. I do that sometimes also. And the truth is this, right? The truth is this, if we're honest with ourselves, unless you look at the message and you pray immediately, right? Many times, sometimes we seldom get to it because other things will overtake our minds. And sometimes there are just too many things on our hands. Too many prayer requests, a lot of unread emails in my work, and can be quite exhausting thinking about it. So a lot of feelings revolving around praying for others can be just overwhelming, guilt, or just exhausting. So practically speaking, how can we really, really inculcate the habit of praying for others? I will share this groundbreaking tip that allowed me to break free from this guilt of over-promising that I will pray for you and not delivering it. Are you ready for this? I learned this from Pastor Jeff. It's incredibly simple, yet effective. This will just take you 10 to 15 minutes. You do it one time, but it will launch you into the habit of praying for others. Step one, go to Microsoft Word. Type out a list of people that you want to pray for. Don't need to type out their prayer requests. Just type out their names. You can include a few verses in the doc to remind you of what you can pray for them. Print it out. Put it at where you normally have dinner. Be it at your home, on your dining table, or at your desk, wherever that you normally have dinner. And before your dinner, look at the list. Pick a name and pray over the person as you give thanks for the food. Write down the date after you have prayed for the person. So it serves as a marker. After you prayed for him or her, next time you look at the list, you'll see, oh, the last time I prayed for him was 1 year ago. I think he can do with another prayer. You know, the principle here is very, very simple. The principle is very simple. Having a list of people to pray for, a physical list in a strategic location, will prompt you to pray for others. I've heard of a brother who pasted his prayer list, you know, in front of the kitchen sink so that when he's washing the dishes, he's reminded to pray for them. You know, it can start from a short list, leave blanks for you to slowly expand your list as your appetite increases. And I really want to share with you, there's so much joy in praying for others. You know, when you spend time praying over your friend, your family members, your brothers and sisters, and you can share with them, hey, I remember what you're going through, and I just want to let you know that I spend the evening praying over you. How are you doing today? It's almost like when you do that, right, the love of God fills you to the brim and overflows to the people that you are praying for. You know, Romans 8:34 says this, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And I believe this. We experience joy because when we pray, we touch the heart of Jesus, who himself is interceding for all of us. Importantly also, it has helped me expand my heart to make room to think of a fellow friend,
brother or sisters, even in my busiest day. And the wonderful thing is this, as you watch how God works in other people's life, because you responded to His invitation to pray for others, you share in more of His joy. It's just logical. You share in more of His joy, you share in more of His glory. Just on Thursday, because Pastor Tim shared, I had a flu on 2E, and I was quite under the weather. I didn't have much social energy when I visited my aunt, you know, and my spirit. But my spirit was uplifted because I met a cousin whom I was praying for in the last few months, and he looks different, more cheerful. Previously, he was struggling with anxiety and on the brink of depression. He shared with me how God slowly delivered him. Progressively, he went for a surgery, and usually after surgery in the recovery period, people tend to be down, right? But instead, God used that time that he was recovering to restore him, to speak to him, and he came out of that being in such a better place. And he really encouraged me just simply by saying that, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for you know. And his uncle came and thanked me, and all I can really respond is only God. And that joy in me, right, even though physically I was tired, you know, but my spirits were so uplifted from there. So the more you pray for people, the more you share in watch how God works in that person's life, the more you share in His joy, the more you share in His delight. So don't take my word for it. Try this within your life group, your mentees, your friends, your family members. List them down. Start by praying for one person at a time. If appropriate, you text them after you pray for them. You can start with a short list. And you will experience the joy of watching God move in other people's life. Okay, so finally we come to night. We come to the end of the day, which is night. And I call this delighting in thanksgiving. At night is a good time to pause and delight in thanksgiving. The moment where we must take our hands off the wheels and let things rest. I used to have a colleague who is genuinely sad every time it reaches the end of the day, where people will be like, oh yeah, end of the day ready, I'm getting ready to leave the office. He will be genuinely sad because he always said, there's so much that I need to do and I haven't accomplished it yet. And I suspect that some of us may relate to that. You know, in this season of your life, every time approaching the end of the day, you feel like, I wish I had more than 24 hours. I want to do so much more, but it's just not possible. And what seems to be simple in the morning seems so foolish in the moonlight. And evening can also be, nighttime can also be a time of self-judgment. In our busy culture, you know, sometimes our tendency is to tune everything out. We may binge on shows, scroll social media, and sometimes we may continue working out of the guilt of not being productive enough throughout the day. So this is where the habit of thanksgiving can make one last and important turn to our day. Still, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's before that, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I learned to end the day giving thanks for 3 to 5 things. For example, I give thanks for God's provision. I ask myself, how have God provided for me through the day? Could it be in my work, in my business, in my contacts, in my network? I ask God, no, how I give thanks for the strength of how God has sustained me, maybe through a busy project period, maybe through this season where I have to juggle with multiple responsibilities. I give thanks for God's grace. How God's grace, I think about my own weaknesses, how maybe there are certain things that I deserve, but I didn't get it out of His mercy, right? You know, how God's grace is made perfect in my weaknesses. And mercy also, you know, how God has delivered me from certain things that I may have deserved, but I was spared. And I hope to prove how easy it is to you, right? You know, right now, just do this quick experiment with you. Me, or those at the West Center, you can do this as well. I want you to just close your eyes. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, okay? Think of 3 areas. Just 2 to 3 areas that you can give thanks for. Just 2 to 3 areas. Just close your eyes. 30 seconds. Another 10 seconds. Okay, you may open your eyes. You may open your eyes. How many of you can think of at least three things that you can give thanks for? Okay, keep your raise. Leave your hands. Keep your hands raised. How many of you two? Two things. Keep your hands raised for those with three things. How many of you two? How many of you one? Just one thing that you can give thanks for. Okay, the statistics is good. It's about 95% to 100% from there. The statistics is good. I hope you can see that it doesn't take you more than a few seconds each day to give thanks. Give thanks to God for areas that are meaningful to you. And I cannot underestimate the rewards this spiritual practice brought to my soul. Sometimes we cannot sleep well at night because we feel the weight of the world on us. And no one can sleep while believing that he or she needs to keep the world spinning. But real rest comes when we thank God that we don't need to keep the world spinning because He does. And on nights where I feel guilty, you know, over things that I may not have done well, or I feel troubled over someone around me, maybe a loved one who has fallen sick, giving thanks bring God into the picture and put things into perspective. It helps me, it reminds me that God is infinite and I'm a finite creature. And it helps me to rest in my limitations and trust in His limitlessness. And because giving thanks is the way of God, in His mercy, He exchanges our burden with a delight of entrusting things unto Him, and He gives us rest as a result. Right? So that's the delight of thanksgiving. Right now, as a recap, I've given you a daily rhythm of devotion that looks like this. Morning, delighting in God's word. Noon, delighting in partnership with God. Evening, delighting in praying for others. And night, delighting in thanksgiving. And aware that sometimes we may not be able to fit some of these devotional activities at specific time slots because we are in a season that's different. So I want to talk also a little bit about how we can adapt this rhythm in various seasons of our life. I'm going to give you this pro tip, okay? This pro tip about adapting as your season changes. You know, an athlete has competition and non-competition seasons. So they have different training volume levels or intensity throughout the year. They train during competition periods and during off-peak seasons when their training load is drastically decreased, right? They still do basic training so that they maintain their fitness levels. They may reduce intensity, but they stay consistent with workouts to avoid losing their progress. So similarly, for us, we have seasons of high intensity and low intensity. When we transit to a new season, you can often feel like it's a high-intensity season. For example, for myself, being a new parent, or you're starting a new job, or you're taking more responsibilities due to a promotion, or you are suddenly become a caregiver because a family member around you fell ill. And during our new seasons, do experiment and give ourselves time to incorporate devotion into new rhythms. But adapt, we must. Adapt, we must. Else, the moment we go into rhythm with extended period of time and drop our spiritual habits altogether, it will become so difficult to build them back. You know, people who are on an exercise routine, they can attest to this, right? If you stop exercising for a week, it's easier to go back, right, to your routine. But if you break for 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, it's so much harder to get back into an exercise routine because new habits are formed. And we are all creatures of habits. So as a relatively new parent to a toddler, I find it so difficult to do devotions, for example, in the morning. I used to enjoy doing devotions in the morning, but I can't do it now because of the unpredictability of my son's sleep cycle. You know, you may say wake up at 4 a.m., but he wakes up at 4 a.m. and he wants me to sleep next to him. So when I sit down with Kelly, we said, hey, we need to discuss how we can, my wife Kelly, we need to discuss like how we can adapt to this. For example, when it comes to praying for people, usually me and my wife, we used to do it before breakfast. But it has been quite tough since my two-year-old son is born, as he will fight for our attention, right? After you want to pray for someone, he will ask you, you know, no, don't pray for him, pray for me, because I need milk, you know. You know, we have since shifted to do it at night after he has fallen asleep. And we find that find the time so much fruitful because we can spend that time really interceding for that person. And another thing, I used to like running as an exercise. It's an opportunity for me to unwind. And also at times, God spoke to me because I was half dying trying to keep pace with my wife. She used to be an ex-national runner, so don't laugh at me, okay? But now, I can no longer run in the evening because I need to pick my son from childcare center. So I started a new exercise routine. I would climb stairs during lunchtime when I work from home and use that time to listen to a sermon or podcast or listen to the word directly, listen to audio Bible. So just to give you a sense, my devotion rhythm as a new parent now looks like this. In my daily habits, I start the day in thanksgiving and word. I end the day praying for at least one person. And you realize that this is totally opposite and inverse from the order that I just shared with you just now. But because I believe minority of us are new parents, majority of us are in other life stations. So to me as a new parent, this is the my rhythm. I just put it out on screen to show you. It's nothing wild, right? Nothing like mind-blowing. It's not like I spend 3-4 hours praying each day. And the point is this, adapt to your new season, you know, as you find your new rhythm and don't let the ball drop. For some of us, actually, it's even more needful, right? In this new season where things are really, really overwhelming, right? It's even more critical for you to connect to God and His Word in this season because you can feel so lost. And as a caregiver or a new parent or someone given more leadership responsibilities, you really need to increase your dependence on God, partner with Him and feed from His Word. Don't deprive what your soul really needs in these seasons, I urge you. And the final point I want to make is this. God is looking for faithfulness among His people and not religiosity. I hope at this moment to encourage a group of people here. You know, you have tried. You may have heard some message like this before. You have tried and you have failed with spiritual disciplines. You have failed in sustaining it. Maybe once upon a time you used to do it, you know, with a vibrant spirit, but you realize it's not sustainable and you have dropped the ball. And a sermon like this, what I share with you, can just fly you by. And it may be a hard listen. And you may be thinking, you know, this is good for you, lah, but not for me still. And 2025 can just fly by in that manner. But I hope to encourage you this morning with this word. I hope you can take heart from what Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. He says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And this is liberating. This is really liberating. Because to constantly forget what is behind, we need the perspective that we are running this race. You know, when you're running a race, if your eye is on the finishing line, you may trip on a stone and you may fall down, right? But if your eye is on the finishing line, you'll quickly get up and you'll run towards the finishing line. And that fall, that trip, is just a thing of the past. And I want to encourage you this morning that even though you may have heard this message before, you may have tried restarting your devotion life before, and you may think that this may be just another one of these messages, right? I want to encourage you that as long as you keep your eye on the finish line, even your failures to sustain devotional habits, right, you'll find yourself being able to be sustained by God's grace. As you fall into His grace, right, there's a new start ahead. There's new mercies in the morning. And maybe this time for real, you can really, really get this going. So you see, God is not looking for religious people. He's looking for people who are faithful. And you may say, what is the difference between religiosity and faithful? You see, the one who is religious will wear their spiritual disciplines as a badge of honor. And if you feel that you don't keep up with your spiritual discipline, you feel ashamed of that. But the one who is faithful pours on himself, his whole life, onto the one who is devoted to him. Because he knows that the one who is devoted to him, our Lord Jesus, has so much more to give to us. May we hold this perspective that our Lord always wants to speak to us more than we ever desire to hear from Him. May we hold this perspective that our Lord has so much more to pour onto us than we be ever ready to receive. And may we also hold this perspective that there's so much depth to the riches of His Word and His love that there's never enough. We'll never come to this place where we say, it is enough. So right now, I want to invite all of us to put away your things. Let's rise on our feet in response to God. I just want to pray for you as we prepare our hearts to worship Him. Hallelujah. I just invite you to open out your hands. Stretch, open out your palm. Open out your hands. As the Holy Spirit ministers right in this place. Father, I just ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit, come into this place, Lord, Father, and minister and touch and convict the hearts of all of us here today, this morning, Lord, Father. That our spiritual disciplines are merely an avenue for us to find delight in you, Lord, Father. And Lord, change our perspective. Teach us your ways, Lord, Father. And even as we worship you, Lord, Father, convict our hearts. Give us creative solution on how we can make room for you, adjust our lifestyle to invite you, to partner with you. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him together.
Majesty.
Church, I want to ask, look up to me. You can look up to me at this moment. You know, it's not willpower. It's not about willpower forcing ourselves to do this even more. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And we cannot do this by our own willpower. We need to lay hold of God. And we need Him to lay hold of our hearts. That 2025 will be the year that we are single-mindedly devoted to Him. And all these habits, all this discipline that we talk about will move from the place of duty to delight. So right now, as an altar call, I'm not even going to ask if it's a specific group of people, because I do believe in my heart that this is a message for all of us. This is a message for all of us. That I want to invite all of us to just lift our hands. I want to pray for Holy Spirit to empower us. Come, let's pray. Let's pray together. Kabadala shodala badala kodala shobadala badala kobadala shobadala. Holy Spirit, we want more of you in our lives, Lord. Kadala shobadala badabala. We ask for your empowerment, Lord Father. We ask for you to lay hold of us as we lay hold of you, Lord. Do your will in our heart. Change our heart. Change our minds, Lord Father. That, Lord, to walk with you is indeed a delight with you, Lord Father. That you are the God that change our mourning into rejoicing. That you are the God that change any sorrows into dancing in the new day, Lord Father. Because your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, even as we walk with you, Lord Father, teach us your ways, Lord Father. Teach us your heart. Teach us to walk with you rightly, such that our devotion, while marked by the various markers, Lord Father, that we will be so captivated by your heart, Lord Father, Lord, that we will want more and more of you, and we'll walk in the fullness of your joy for this year, 2025, no matter what seasons that we are in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. The final group of people that I want to speak to, thanks, I know I'm withholding your applause for God. We can do that later. But there's a group of people that I want to speak to. Some of us among here that you have not come to this place where you have said yes to Jesus and entered into a relationship with Jesus. You may have visited our church, you know, a few times in last week, and you are in a place where you are exploring the Christian faith, and I want to thank you for making your time to come over here to just listen to a word over the Chinese New Year holidays. But I have this word for you, is that, you know, the Lord, our God, the reason why we want to live our lives in devotion to Him, because we have a God who is fully, fully devoted to us.
You know, people around us may fail us, even our most treasured loved ones. They will fail us from time to time. But there is a God who does not fail us. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And because of that, we are fully reconciled in our relationship with Him. So no matter where you are, no matter how much unworthy you may think, oh, this God is so loving, I may not be worthy. I want to let you know, as you come as you are unto Him, He will embrace you. And this year 2025 may be a groundbreaking year for you. It may be the best year of your life as you commit your life. So if you feel that this word speaks to you strangely and you're ready to open your heart, you know, to receive Lord Jesus as your Savior, I just invite you to say this prayer with me. Say it and mean your heart. And this will be the first step in which you invite Him into your life. So, believers of Christ, you can say with me, bow all heads, bows or eyes closed. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess
that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you. For dying on the cross. For my sins.
Right now.
I invite you. To come into my life. Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become
the kind of person
you have created me to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's give God praise.